Yeah, warriors, we're taking it down. Raise your voices and stand up this town. We're the champions of craft beer sport. Tolkien Audio, we hold down the fort.
How's it going, everybody? Welcome inside an all-new edition of the Tall Can Audio Podcast, coming to you from our studio in beautiful Bytown, Canada. We are on social media at Tall Can Audio, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio. Look, wherever you're hearing us right now, we're obviously there. Go ahead, hit follow, hit subscribe. And I will remind those of you who are listening on Google Podcasts, that's going to expire at the end of the month. Google has decided they're done with the podcast game. So if that's where you're hearing us, make sure you move over to one of the other thousands of podcast apps out there and subscribe to Tall Can Audio there. Happy to be welcoming back to the show our friend AJ Jackie back. What's happening, man?
Good. Good to see you. Yeah. Other than those clothes that you're wearing. Terrible. Yeah,
no, you're not loving anything about Toronto's my wardrobe. You're
all Toronto here today.
Yeah. And it's
Canadian Houston. Have you ever heard me call it Canadian Houston? That's what Toronto is. They think it's so great there. It's not bad. It's like going to Houston. Yeah. It's okay.
It's okay.
I don't mind Houston.
Except
I don't mind Toronto.
The Astros have had some success.
Not,
they had to cheat to do it.
It's not the greatest place on the planet or even close to the greatest place here in beautiful Canada. Right. So, Canadian Houston.
You're poking at me here.
Canadian Frankfurt.
Frankfurt, okay.
Yeah, Canadian Houston, Canadian Frankfurt.
What's wrong with Frankfurt?
Yeah, it's okay. It's not as good as Munich or Berlin or Cologne or any of the other best cities in Germany. But it's okay.
Yeah.
I don't mind Frankfurt. I don't mind Toronto. I don't mind Houston. They're all okay.
Sporting the Toronto City Connect hat. You're not feeling that for the Jays. And the T-shirt. I thought you might enjoy the T-shirt. It's got the Leaf logo on it. And it just, please, God, just once before I die. I don't know. No. I thought you might have a little sympathy for me after the way
sympathy.
Things went this spring.
I hope you...
Once.
I hope you live a very long life
yeah.
and never see either one of those teams win another trophy.
Okay. That's pretty cruel, but it could have been worse. Hoped I was going
to
conk
nice
out.
Nice to see you, though.
Yeah. No, I'm glad to have you back in here. Look, there's a bunch of things to talk about. It is... Finally, you know, the rest of the CFL has a week under their belt, but the Red Blacks haven't gotten into anything yet. I want to ask you about how you think that's going to play out. But as is almost always the case, you've got travels in front of you. You got other things on your radar. In fact, last week we saw you tweeting from, what's the league? What was the you were out at some volleyball in Ottawa.
Volleyball Nations League.
Okay. They were.
Well, I'm going to the Olympics.
I know that. Yeah.
Just to watch.
Yeah. No, no.
I think anyone that has a look at me knows that I'm 49 years old and those days are long, long gone in terms of my athletic prowess. Which
what would your sport
about,
have been? What your Olympics, summer Olympic sport, if you were ever going to get there in one, what would it have been?
That's a good question because here's the problem. I peaked at like 12, 13, 14 because I was 5'9" and now I'm like 5'9" and 5'8".
Right.
I'm one of those guys that grew one extra inch. So I was a pretty good athlete growing up.
Yeah.
But there's athletes that are kind of a bull like.
Yeah.
And then there's
you would have had to have been like a shot put guy. Like you're not gonna
not at 5'9".
Well, you're not gonna high jump at 5'9". Like you're
so there's agile,
yeah.
and quick, and then there's like powerful. And that was me. I was the powerful guy.
Yeah,
I was the guy that when I played basketball at 5'9", I was a small forward in junior high that played a little bit like Barkley.
Right.
So
you would have been a basketball
at 5'9" and 5'8".
Right.
You're only one position, and you have to be very quick.
Yeah.
To be a point guard at 5'9" and 5'8". Not a shooting guard, yeah. Certainly not a small forward.
You were
going
to have to be the Muggsy Bogues of Team Canada.
Yeah, it's a really good question.
Maybe you're going to have to wait for the winter games. And
probably.
Like a bobsledder or something.
Had I been like a 6-footer, I probably could have been like a linebacker. I was a pretty good football player.
Yeah, but that's not an Olympic sport. You got to give me an Olympic sport here, AJ. I'm going to hold you to it.
Yeah, I don't know. I would have been one of those guys that you would have had to have maybe speed skating because I was like I played up until junior A.
That's still not
a
summer Olympic sport.
No, I'm giving you a winter Olympic sport. I played up until junior A, and the reason and settled into junior B,
yeah.
And the reason that I played even that high was not because of skill; it was because of hard work, and I was really fast.
Okay,
so speed skating maybe is the one from a winter perspective, but summer, I don't know. Yeah. I just feel like, no, I just it wasn't in the cards for me.
No.
There's a reason I'm on radio, because it wasn't.
Talking about other people.
I am not one of those people like that. I dislike, please don't be one of these people. The people that kind of say, oh, I would have been this if it wasn't for politics, or if I had cared a little bit more.
Pushed me more.
No, you just flat out weren't good enough.
Right.
Simple as that. Just like me, flat out not good enough. I was 5'9", and I ended up 5'9", and 5'8". So guess what? It wasn't in the cards for me. So stop making these excuses. No one was out to get you. You just flat out weren't good enough. And because you were better in Adam than so-and-so that just kept improving, well, guess what? So-and-so was probably 5'6" and turned into 6'2" and ended up better than you, period.
There's a girl.
And he worked, or she worked, and they kept working at it. And if it was in the cards, like mental toughness and perseverance, like that's part of the equation here too. So if you don't have that mental toughness or perseverance, like I had all of that.
Sure.
But sadly, not enough skill, not enough size.
Right.
It ended. The brick wall hit. But if you don't have those skills, you're no good either.
Right.
You're no good. But I was talented. Well, no, you had no balls. So if you're a guy.
Yeah.
Tough luck.
Yeah. We had a girl, I remember, in grade 6. And she, as women often do, hit the growth spurt first. And everyone in our class, because kids are cruel but also lame, called her Tree. I ran into her years later at a bar. Like, we didn't go to the same high school. We didn't whatever. She's 5'3", AJ. But at the time, the rest of us boys are 4'11", or whatever we are. And you just don't, you just have no concept of the world around you, right? She's this tall, slim girl. And that was it. She got there to 5'3", and stopped. That was it. She got no taller. And it was wild to me. She came up and said hello, because I obviously didn't recognize her. I would have expected like a 7'2".
Well, I'll give you an example of one of the best players that I ever played against. And it's Tyson Nash. Hmm. And Tyson Nash was the next.
Moving to Utah to call games?
He was the next Mark Messier.
Yeah.
Like, he played just like Mark Messier. But guess what? Just like me, Tyson Nash didn't grow an inch from Pee Wee on.
Right.
And so he still got to the NHL, but he was 5'9".
Yeah.
Now, if Tyson Nash would have been 6'2", he would have been Mark Messier.
Dominated the league.
He was that good.
Right.
In terms of just how he was in Pee Wee, but he never grew. And then he played on those good Kamloops teams. Like, he's one of the three that made Kamloops at 16 on a Memorial Cup team in 91-92.
Right.
And the others were Darcy Tucker and Ryan Huska. And Tyson Nash. So back in the day, there was no draft in the WHL. Back in my day, the first draft was, I'm a 75 birth.
Right.
The first draft was the 76s. So the system they had was, if like after Pee Wee, you could protect a guy. Like, I think it was like September 1st was the date after Pee Wee. So I remember, like, I ended up going like to a couple of WHL camps, Kamloops, and I got an invite to Swift, and I got an invite to Tri-Cities, and I, like, we were going after Pee Wee,
right?
Because they would scout us in Pee Wee, because if you were good enough, you would take up three spots. They had a 50-man roster, but if you were good enough, they would use three spots on you from 14 years old. Now, if you're 15,
so it would cost you three roster spots to have a 14-year-old.
Yes. Wow. And it would cost you two spots to have a 15-year-old.
Okay.
And if you were 16, it was one spot.
Right.
Well, Tyson Nash was a three spotter. He was a Kamloops Blazer at 14 years old, and he was a three spot. He was that good. And then he just never grew, but he was still a very good junior.
Yeah.
And he carved out a really good career. But he's a guy, he's a bull. He needed to be 6'1", 6'2", to be Mark Messier. He was 5'9", so he ended up being kind of a rat that, you know, and that's a compliment.
Sure,
to him.
Of course, yeah.
He had a good NHL career, solid NHL career. I mean, he wasn't a star.
Yeah.
But that's the reality, is everyone just kind of grows at different rates. And we all know people that were, and there's other players that were a lot better than me that made it as far as me,
yeah,
that the same thing. They were just bigger earlier and better than everybody else. And all of a sudden, when that size differential changed, they weren't as dominant.
No.
Simple as that. So it's a bit of an art, especially scouting at that level.
Yeah.
When you're
scouting
15 and 16
years?
Year olds,
yeah,
it's a bit of an art to kind of try and figure out, okay, is this person going to stay at 5'9"? Are they going to grow to 6'1", 6'2"? Like I know a lot of scouts at that level, they look at, you know, the parents and say, okay, well, how tall are they? And,
yeah.
But it's an inexact science
from
that perspective. So there's a lot of guesswork involved, and you try and figure out, okay, how much growth is there, both kind of literally and figuratively, yeah, in this player?
One of the things that I was really interested to ask you about is because you've traveled all over the place. In fact, one of the last times you were on here, you were telling us about traveling to Qatar for the World Cup, which to me is just one of those places with way more questions than answers. And
well, that's how I basically framed it. Coming back from there, is it's the only place I've ever been in my life, 38 countries, where I left with more questions than answers.
Right.
And not that I didn't have questions. I mean, there's questions everywhere, no matter where you go. And especially if you go, you know, you really need at least a week to get a feel for a place. But if you're going like 2-3 days, then you're not going to get a great feel on the place. But yeah, I mean, I was there 3 weeks and more questions than answers.
When you are looking ahead to something and you've been talking, because look, I've freely admitted this on the show. I've admitted it to you 100 times. I'm not a soccer, like I have very little soccer knowledge, right? But that Canadian men's team has gotten me excited before the World Cup, right? I've watched the women's teams in London when they were going on that run, right? And when they started to build up and won an Olympic gold medal in 2021. Like, if you're wearing the flag, you can get my attention. And I know enough about the sport to be able to watch it and enjoy it, but not in the same way I watch some other sports and like to think that I know things, right? And so when you've been talking for a while about Copa and that being the next big thing for Canada, that you're going to play some monsters, right? Coming out of South America and the U.S. I know you're going to check some of it out. What I want to ask you before we kind of dig into the state of the Canadian team, as someone who loves to travel, is it a bummer for you that it's going to be in the U.S. where you're just sort of like, ah, I could go there whenever I feel like it. It's just if I want to, technically I can drive 90 minutes south of here and be in the U.S. Like, does that bum you out, or is it just like, well, whatever, it's another city, it's another, or would you have rather have been to, you know, back to Brazil or Colombia or something like that?
Yeah, I think Copa would be amazing going to actual South America. I've only been there once. I made sure I got there when Canada was playing El Salvador and I was traveling for World Cup qualifiers. Mm-hmm. I wanted to go to a South American country to at least say I've been to South America, and I wanted to go to a place that had direct flights back to Canada. And so Colombia was a pretty easy spot to go to, and yeah, loved it. Would love to go back and would love to explore more of South America. But no, I mean, for me, it's
because like you can go to the U.S. to see a Florida Panthers game.
Yeah, no, for sure. But I think
Patriots game.
I feel like the Peru fans are going to take over the stadium, much like Argentina will.
So which stadium are you visiting?
So it's Kansas City. So like their first game, they play Argentina in Atlanta.
Okay.
And that's going to be mainly Argentinians, but probably a few Messi posers that essentially we saw a ton of them at the World Cup.
Right.
People that are only there to see Messi and cheer Messi. Sure. Or same with Ronaldo. I mean, they're all booing when Ronaldo wasn't playing for Portugal and like holding up Portuguese flags upside down. No, actually, it's this way. Oh, okay. Thank you. So, yeah, they'll get a little bit of that. But Peru, I mean, they're playing in Kansas City at Children's Mercy Park, which is where Sporting KC plays.
Right.
And it's like 20,000 people, and I'm expecting, you know, 19,500 to be Peruvians. And
right.
They took over, like the South American fans, they're passionate. And
oh, yeah.
I remember 2018, I was actually really inspired watching Peru at the 2018 World Cup in Russia because they were playing their first couple of games. Like they just completely took over the stadium. And There's like 40, 45,000 of them there.
Hmm.
And it was their first World Cup in 36 years, much like 4 years later, it was our first World Cup in 36 years. But seeing so many of them there and seeing them cry during the national anthem like that really inspired me. I was like, okay. And I already knew that I was going to the next World Cup that Canada was going to be a part of. And I was so happy it was before we hosted it.
Right.
But yeah, that was really cool to see. And so I still feel like in the stadium itself, it's going to feel like a crazy environment. So,
but to go to Kansas City instead of Paraguay.
Yeah,
or,
but you know, here's the thing. You always make the best of the situation.
Oh, I'm sure.
And for me.
So I was just wondering if it was a bummer. That's all.
No, not at all.
Okay.
And it's in between Red Blacks games.
Yeah.
It's the reason I'm only going to one. Otherwise, I'd be in Atlanta. I'd be in Orlando for the other two games. And so originally I'd booked for 4 nights in Kansas City. Not like I hadn't booked the hotel, but just, you know, flying in and out. And then I started thinking, well, I don't really need to spend 4 nights in Kansas City. I've been there before. It's a decent place, good barbecue, whatever. But
what did you see the last time? Chiefs?
No, I saw NCAA basketball tournament at the newish arena that still doesn't have a tenant. So right downtown KC.
Right.
But I started looking at other places, Tulsa, Fayetteville, Arkansas, like maybe I can go to another game. And then it's like, wait a second. When's the College World Series?
Hmm.
And it's that weekend.
Really?
So we're actually spending 2 nights in Omaha.
Sure, as you do.
Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah.
And game one and game two of the College World Series are Saturday, Sunday. So I don't know if we'll go to both because it's not the cheapest games to go to because it is a best of three final and it is the final.
Sure.
But plan is to go to at least one of those games and then the next night, which could be game seven on the Stanley Cup final, Kansas City Royals against the Marlins. I'm at
Marquee
24. I'm not going to say 24 of the 30 ballparks because some of these teams, the Braves and the Rangers are two of them, for example, they're in their third park.
They've moved. Yeah.
Okay. Like, which is ridiculous. Like it's not, I get it. If you're the Twins and you moved out of the Metrodome and you're at Target Field or San Francisco, you moved out of Candlestick Park and you're at Oracle or whatever it's called. I mean, I know these names change all the time, but like Texas and Atlanta are in their third parks in like 30 years. It's ridiculous.
I can't keep up with all of them. Yeah.
But of the 30 teams that are present, I've seen a home game in 24 of those cities. And the five that I'm missing, other than Kansas City, are pretty easy to name. Washington Nationals, Colorado Rockies, Arizona Diamondbacks, Tampa Bay Rays, and Miami Marlins. It's all the newer teams.
Right.
And I did see the Expos, but I don't count that as Washington because it's a different city.
No, of course.
So actually getting to see a game in KC and the fountains and stuff like old school stadium.
Nice ballpark.
Yeah. I'm pumped about it.
Yeah.
So if that series goes seven, and I'm an Edmonton guy and I want the Oilers to win, if that series goes seven, I'm not going to be very happy, but I'm still going to the damn game, you know, because when it's not like
streaming
I'm making another
phone and how often are you going to be in Kansas City?
I mean, I've got my bucket list. You don't even want to see my bucket list. It's ridiculous. Trust me. My girlfriend doesn't, I've told her I've listed off all the places on her and she just shakes her head. Cause it's a very long list. Like it's going to be, I'll be in my 60s, and hopefully I get there. I'm 49 now. I'll be in my 60s by the time I cross off everything off that list, if I do.
Right.
So
there's something about ballparks, right? They got their own charm, whether they're new or old. Like football stadiums, hockey arenas, like it's cool to go. But there's something about a ballpark, right? It's just a little different. I kind of get it. If I'm going to be in Kansas City, I'm obviously going to go see a Royals game, even if it is the Marlins in town or whatever.
Yeah, and the Royals are good. And to me, it's not, I don't care who they're playing.
Right.
It's more about just going to that ballpark. Like for me, for cities, when I'm traveling, I see them through essentially three lenses: history, food, and sport.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause that's what I'm interested
in. Sure.
And history can kind of mean a lot of different things. But, you know, I just kind of like walking through neighborhoods, seeing what just kind of trying to get a feel for what the city's about. Food is kind of like food and beverage, and I don't drink a lot anymore. Right. So I'll have a couple of beers when I'm there, but sure. Not going to be hammered or anything like that. But yeah, just going to some barbecue places, checking out a little bit of the nightlife. Like it's a place called The Peanut, for example, that Anthony Bourdain recommended
there. Yeah, okay.
And so stuff like that. And then sport. And so like that's, and I'm sure if you're not into sports,
it's
probably art or whatever it might be. Like, yeah. But for me, art doesn't really tell me what the city is.
Right.
Like there's some, if it's like the Louvre or something like that, then I get it. Or the, you know.
Yeah, where we all know about it, right? Like where it's bigger than, but yeah, to ask me to understand local Kansas City art, probably just going to go see the ball game.
No, exactly. Yeah. So I feel like even in 2 days, and I've been there for three, like we'll go to the Negro League Museum, which I've been to before and it's fantastic. Mm-hmm. And yeah, just kind of walk around town and go to a couple of bars and a couple of barbecue places and ball game and a soccer game and get a steak in Nebraska and good to go. I'm actually going. So when we're in Omaha, there's a place about a half hour outside of town that specializes, like supposed to be one of the best steakhouses in Nebraska, but they specialize in bull testicles. So I'm going to try some bull testicles.
If you're in, when in Rome, right?
Exactly.
When well, in Omaha.
That's what I love to do. And so.
I don't know if I can do it.
We'll see. But it's going to be.
Yeah.
It's going to be a big, like for me, like every year, like I'm already, this year's already booked. Next year, I'm already in the planning stages for next year. But it's Kansas City and Omaha. Mm-hmm. Then it's Paris for 10 days for the Olympics.
Yep.
And I'm going to see. Like, this might be the most insane. Like, I went to 34 games in 19 days of the World Cup, and this dwarfs that. Like, it's 10 days, and it's 27 ticketed events, plus Canada House, 10 different sports, 5 different hotels, 4 different cities.
5 different hotels? You can't stay in one hotel while you're...
Well, no, because...
Paris is a big city.
Well, it's known... if it was just Paris, it would be one hotel,
right.
But it's...
Right, it's kind of spread around.
Do you want my itinerary briefly?
Let's get to it. Let's do it in order here as much as we can. The team you're going to see in Kansas City, this version of the Canadian men's national team,
yes.
New head coach, coming off a disappointing World Cup, the turmoil that we've all known about for several years still kind of existing around the Canadian Soccer Association. What are your expectations of this Canadian team heading into Copa?
Well... It's not get out of the group or bust, but I'll be disappointed. Argentina is the best team in the world. They just won the World Cup.
Yeah.
So,
and they're in your group.
So Argentina should win the group.
Right.
Unless they crap the bed. They should win the group. So then you've got Canada, Chile, Peru. If this was 10 years ago, you would say Chile's going to be second and Peru's probably third and Canada's fourth. But it's not 10 years ago. Arturo Vidal is late 30s.
Right.
Alexis Sanchez is late 30s. And Peru has scored 2 goals in World Cup qualifying. So it doesn't mean they're going to be crap.
No.
But it means they're ripe to be had.
Okay.
So I feel like second of the group is a possibility. But I like you look at the odds, you look at different things, and essentially it's 3 teams battling for 1 spot. So... I'll be disappointed if Canada doesn't win a game. I'll be disappointed if Canada wins the last game, but they're already out of it. And so to me, it's about, okay, number one, that last game, we better not be out of it like we were at the World Cup.
Who's first? Who do we play first?
Well, we play Argentina first.
Okay, so you're going 0-1 in all likelihood.
Well, you never know.
Yeah.
You never know. I think we're better than Saudi Arabia, and Saudi Arabia beat them at the World Cup. So on our day, on our day, we should have beat Belgium at the World Cup. We didn't. We didn't take advantage of that, and we were made to pay.
Right.
Do I think we're going to beat Argentina? No, I don't. I'm expecting us to have 0 points after that game, but we have the quality to pull an upset 1 out of every 10 or 15 games.
Sure.
So, you know, probably go out of that one with no points, and then you're probably playing Peru, and maybe Peru-Chile is going to play right after the Argentina game, like a day or two later.
Right.
And we'll see. I mean, the best thing that can happen there is a draw, and then maybe you win the game against Peru, have Argentina beat Chile. Argentina's through. And now you're going into the last day needing probably a point against Chile to go through. So that's a lot of ifs.
Sure.
But
always
my
is.
Goodness, if they could go, part of the reason I'm excited to go to that game in Kansas City is because I feel like this could be, because this is, we've been in two World Cups and we played Gold Cups, but this is the third biggest competition that the Canadian men have ever been in after those two World Cups. Right. And we're 0-6 and we should have got something from the last World Cup. We weren't, you watch 86, 0-3, we should have been 0-3.
Right.
You watch the last World Cup, we should have got something out of it.
Okay.
Shouldn't have got out of the group.
Yeah.
But and
a point somewhere.
But we should have got something. Like even the Aussies, Aussies got to the next phase and they're like, geez, sorry, mate. You guys are better than us, but it's just the way football is. So learning experience, we need something better than what happened in 2022, because 0-3 isn't going to cut it for me. Winning the last game after being eliminated after the first two games with 0 points isn't going to cut it for me. Like, I don't want a consolation win in the third game when it doesn't mean anything. Want that third game to mean something and want to win at some point. So
it looks like Canada's starting to turn over the roster, get a little younger.
A little bit. Yeah. I mean,
on side with how that's going?
Yeah. No, it was the right time.
Yeah.
It was the right time. And the veterans, thank you to the Milan Borjans and the Steven Vittorias. And
I really loved, for a guy who doesn't know anything about soccer, I love Milan Borjan, right? Like the way he would get out and talk, he's like, as someone whose family came here as an immigrant, like, this is what I can give back to Canada.
Yeah.
That kind of talk, that's going to get me, right? Like, good for you, man. Like,
no,
the sweatpants, like, all of that stuff. Like,
but
it's time.
It's time, yeah. And you're building towards 2026, and we've got a lot of great young talent. And it's time, it's time for this to be the team. Like, that was the team. The best players on the team weren't the leaders on this team. But now with Alphonso Davies, Jonathan David, Tejon Buchanan, Stephen Aoustakiou, Ishmael Kone, Alistair Johnston, Kyle Larin, it's their team.
Right.
And they're all going to be there, you know, as long as they're healthy, and they're all going to be there in 2026. So it's their team. It's their time. They need to take over here, and Let's see how they look.
Sure. You mentioned there a few minutes ago, this is not the only big sporting trip you've got on the agenda this summer. Before we get to the CFL, I want to ask you about the Olympics. You are going to Paris. As you mentioned, though, it's not just Paris. It's sort of spread around the countryside a little bit. I'm sure with all the countries you've already visited in Europe, you have been to France before.
I've been to France before. I went and watched Jonathan David before the last World Cup. We went to Lille, it's not far from Belgium, and we spent a couple of days there, actually 3 nights there. We saw 2 soccer games, Lens.
I think you mentioned you had to rent a car, drive up, and then bring it back.
It's a good memory you have, because part of the reason was, like, we were flying from Belgium to Bulgaria, then to Greece, and then from Greece to Qatar. But so to leave the car in Brussels, where our flight was, we had to rent the car about half an hour away from Lille, which was right on the other end of the border. And we got to the rental car place, and it was literally like 4 minutes from Passchendaele.
Okay.
So we rented the car, and we were already going to Vimy.
Yeah.
So it was perfect. We ended up going to Passchendaele, to Vimy. Then we went to a soccer game. Then the next day we went to Lille and saw Jonathan David play, and then went back to Brussels. So it was a whirlwind trip, as every one of my trips seems to be. But yeah, I haven't been to Paris since 1990. And I was 14 years old. So this will be cool. That being said, it's going to be insane because...
Well, so hit me with the number again. How many sports and how many days here?
So it's 10 sports.
Yeah.
But it's... So I'll give you the...
Yeah.
So it's 12 basketball games, 10 men's, 2 women's, 2 Canadian men. I'll see all the men's teams in the round robin. Also... and I'll see Canada, France, U.S., Japan on the women's side.
Okay.
And then 3 of the 4 quarterfinals, fingers crossed. I think the last one will be the U.S., so fingers crossed that it's not Canada.
Right.
So that's my 12 basketball games. 3 soccer games. So The nine are in Lille. So that's why I'm spending three nights in Lille.
Right.
The quarterfinal games are in Paris.
Okay.
So Saint-Étienne a night, Canada-France women's soccer. Lyon a night, that's the men's semi. And then the rest of the events are all in Paris, which is women's soccer quarterfinal, probably the U.S. So there's your soccer and basketball portions.
Right.
I've got three boxing cards.
Wow. Okay.
One of which is at Roland Garros.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That should be a cool scene, like a cool place to see something like that.
Exactly. Yeah. Which is why I didn't get the fourth basketball game, because I thought, oh, it's going to be the U.S. and I'd like to see boxing at Roland Garros.
Yeah.
So seeing rowing, seeing table tennis, seeing beach volleyball, which is at the Eiffel Tower.
Really? Okay.
Seeing handball, which I didn't think much of it, and now it's a very hot ticket that I see later.
It's
because
big in Europe.
Well, and I'm seeing France and Denmark.
Oh, okay.
Who are like, they've won the last two big events.
Right.
So, and seeing France at home should be awesome as well.
Yeah.
And then I'm seeing the big three in the Olympics, and that's gymnastics, swimming, and 2 days of track and field. I've got the men's 100-meter final.
Oh, wow.
Women's 100-meter final.
Main event, yeah.
Last two events of the decathlon, men's hammer throw. Hmm. So I'm hoping with all that, so I'll see two men's Canadian basketball, one women's basketball Canada, one women's soccer Canada. I'm at the 200-meter butterfly women final. That's the reigning champ in that is Summer McIntosh.
Right.
There's a big relay final that I'm hoping to see. Ethan Katzberg for hammer. You've got Pierce Lepage and Damian Warner in the decathlon.
Yeah.
And Andre DeGrasse is looking good.
Yep.
Potentially could be back in the 100-meter final. So there's a ton of Canadians that I'm hoping can find a way to, you know, even compete or being in the final or maybe medal or who knows, maybe even gold. So, yeah, it should be an amazing 10 days. So we'll see how it plays out.
What does the planning for something like that look like? Like, is the anchor you want to see the soccer and the basketball and
the
then anything
the
you
basketball.
Can fit around? Yeah.
Okay. The anchor was the basketball because I'd always said, and it was much like the Canadian men in soccer, for years, just paying, like getting up middle of the night, watching Canada, Lithuania, Canada, Australia. I think of that last Olympic Games qualifying and they ended up losing to both and being mad. I was in Edmonton at my parents' place and being mad and yelling at the screen in the middle of the night and hoping I didn't wake them up because I was mad at they weren't performing. And so no, that was the big thing. I'd always wanted to go to the Olympics, but I wanted to go when Canada was basically there in men's basketball.
Yeah.
And so just so happened that not only did they qualify, but the Red Blacks play on the 26th of July and then they play again on the 8th of July and they've got a bye week there. So
the 8th of August.
It worked perfectly. And got those direct
that
flights.
That couldn't have panned out any better.
They got those direct flights out of Ottawa, the Air France.
Oh,
so
wow. Okay.
I leave on the 27th, day after the Red Blacks game.
Yeah.
And I think it's against Calgary, and then they play on the 8th, and I'm flying back on the 7th. So it's
if it had worked with your schedule with the rep, like, do you care at all about the opening, closing ceremonies? Like, would that have been something you wanted to?
I'm not spending that kind of money.
Yeah, no.
So because, like, one of the benefits of what I do in media is I can get,
right,
you know, Stanley Cup, and I've been to, as media,
yep,
Stanley Cup Finals, Final Four, Super Bowl.
Yeah, get yourself
some great events, and that's helped.
Yeah.
But for the Olympics and World Cup, it's very difficult. Yeah, and worldwide. You might get a press pass, but it might not get you seating. And for me, like, I'm all in. I want to control my own destiny. Right. I don't want IOC media or FIFA media controlling my destiny of what games I'm going to and what games I'm not going to. And so, I mean, it's more expensive that way, obviously.
Yeah.
I spent more than I thought I was going to because literally my last day of buying tickets, it was their last public sale.
Oh, okay.
And it was 4 a.m. here. Oof. And I swear I was like first in the queue, like 3:30. It said you were in the queue.
Wow.
And,
okay.
And when I got in, literally, I had this long list of events.
Yeah.
Thinking I was going to spend another grand.
Yeah.
And I spent $2,500, and I was like literally in shock.
Yeah.
Thinking, Did that just happen?
Right.
And I've been broke last month or so, and finally kind of, okay.
I better be back in time for that August 8th.
Payday's Friday.
Red Blacks game.
Excited about that. But literally I had this list. I'm like, okay, swimming was at the top of my list. Gymnastics was number two. And so I spent $2,500. And then I go in now because I got the three quarterfinal games of men's basketball. Mm-hmm. I got gymnastics. I got swimming. I got table tennis. I got all this stuff, beach volleyball. I was stunned that boxing, all of it.
Yeah.
Because it all wasn't on there. I had a bunch of soccer and basketball games that were early round games.
Yeah.
Bigger stadiums. I had two track and field days. Again, 80,000 seat stadium. Sure. A lot easier to get that than swimming or gymnastics, where there's the same type of demand and the arena's five or six times less.
Yeah.
So now I look on the list and it's like, okay, yeah, I got those for like $150-$200 each, and they're being priced at like $1,200.
Right.
So I'm like, okay, yeah, that I'm glad I did it.
I did
even
good.
Though it
yeah.
it's because I feel like it's a one time thing for me.
Right.
I mean, would I go back given the opportunity? Absolutely. I mean, it would be amazing to be able to work one of those one day. But
sure.
I I'm not going to let things that are out of my control kind of control me. I'm in control. If I want to go and buy the tickets, and that's what I did, and I'm going, and it's going to be
once in a lifetime in a
amazing
crazy
experience.
Good city.
So
you laid out a pretty wild itinerary. Is there anything that you will have time for while you're in Paris that isn't Olympics related, or is it just straight in for the sports? And
so originally, and I mentioned about Vimy and Passchendaele.
Yeah.
Originally, I had kind of planned that I was going to go to Normandy because of all the different, I've been to our war museum, honestly, 12 to 15 times.
Right.
I love it. I'm huge history guy. I think I've been to about 25, war museums or military history museums in Europe. So I want to go to Normandy. It's not happening this trip. It was just one of those things. My days started filling up and I'm like, okay, I'm going for the Olympics. Normandy's still going to be there next year, the year after, so on and so forth. It's really high on my
list.
How
far is it from Paris?
It's about, depends, by train, about 3 hours, 2 to 3 hours. Okay. So, yeah, I mean, it's a full day.
Yeah,
if you're,
it's a commitment. Yeah.
Yeah, like there's no, I'm watching this game and going to Normandy or vice versa. Like it's a full day. And so in the end, yeah, and I'm a huge food guy.
Right.
And honestly don't know, like with my schedule, I don't know how I'm going to fit in any sit-down meals. Like, it's insane. I'm going to Canada House one day as well. Like, there's one day where I've got rowing in the morning and evening I've got swimming. And that's it. And someone sent me this thing about Canada House. I'm like, well, I have to go to Canada House.
Sure, yeah.
And that was like, okay, well, that was literally the only day I could go. So that worked out well. I was glad that I got that sent to me so I didn't have to sell one of my tickets. And, and so that's a must. But yeah, I love to eat, you know, in Paris. I mean,
well, they'll
so many
take
great
care
restaurants.
Of you. Yeah.
But like the one thing about Paris is I've looked, a lot of the restaurants that I want to go to are open like into the wee hours. So there may be a couple of nights.
Late night dinners.
Yeah. Like where I go and have a midnight steak frites or something that. Right. but again, this is going to be insane because a lot of my days, well, they're going to start before 9 because a lot of my days, it's like beach volleyball at 9 or handball at 9 and they're full days.
Yeah.
So it might be my girlfriend. It's funny. When I was over at the World Cup, we talked about halfway through the event and she reminded me about this. And I do remember after the fact, and she reminded me about the fact that I said to her that I probably should have done this differently. The 34 games in 19 days. I probably shouldn't have spent this much time going
to,
But once I got back, I was like, there's no way I would have done things differently.
Right.
It was amazing. And I did have a couple of days off.
How many cracks at this are you going to get?
Yeah. I did have a couple of days off there.
Yeah.
Like days, whatever it was. I think it was 34 in 21, actually. I think it was like 32 in 17. Day off, and then game, I came home.
Right.
This one, it's like literally all 10 days.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty sure by day 6, it'll be the middle of the night. Because I asked her if she wanted to go.
Yeah.
Like, there's no way I would have had this type of schedule. I'm like, do you want to go to Paris? She's like, yeah, I do, but not...
Not for
to
this.
Go to the Olympics, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. You go, have a great time, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
So I'm sure by day 6 or 7, I'll probably have the same conversation saying,
this was crazy.
This is stupid. I'm literally like
a zombie
running around like 17 hours a day and getting
3 hours of sleep,
getting
last
5-6 hours sleep and getting up and like doing it again and doing it again and doing it again. But by the end of it, I know I'll be like, that was amazing.
Yeah.
So.
Well, it's one of those cities too, right? Like you and I have talked about this before. A friend of mine is a Paralympian. So the games are always in the same city. And like she's been to London and so 16 was Rio, 2020 was supposed to be, ended up being 2021. That's Tokyo and now Paris. And you're just like, in terms of world-class cities that her career has spanned, because sometimes you get like in Atlanta and I'm sure it was great, but it's not that, like, these are the cities around the world that she's just been lucky enough to have fallen during her career. And so if you're going to have an Olympic Games in Paris and you're going to go and the backdrop of your whole trip is going to be, you know, the Eiffel Tower. And like, I had no idea that the beach volleyball is going to be in front of the Eiffel. Like, that's awesome. The backdrop there is going to be wild. It's just one of those things. If you're going to do it, suck it up for 10 days. Yeah, you're going to be overtired. Yeah, you're going to be, you know, crazy, but just get as much in as you can, right?
And honestly, like I knew I was going to have to go see basketball, soccer, and as I mentioned, track and field.
Canada men's basketball on that same upward swing with soccer. It's wild.
Like, no, I'm pretty excited about that. But like track and field, gymnastics, swimming are like the big three.
What does gymnastics look like? Like, do you know this is going to be rings and the bar and the floor? Or do you just, there's stuff happening all over?
So I don't, like, there's two men's events and two women's events the day I'm going. I couldn't tell you the men's events. The women's, it's floor exercise and vault.
Okay.
No, sorry, floor exercise and beam.
So you do know what you're getting?
Yeah.
Okay. Because I've always wondered how that venue is set up. Is there just, like, 8 different events happening around the floor and you're kind of looking at all of them?
No, they're one by one.
Okay.
Yeah. And so, yeah, I mean, a better question to ask me when I'm back.
Sure.
But,
and we will.
Yeah. But I can't wait. I went to an Olympics when I was 12 in Calgary.
Right.
Literally went to one hockey game but the whole experience, I just remember being downtown Calgary with my dad.
Was that the Peter Nedved games? Or?
No.
No, that was 92.
Zarly Zlavsky.
Okay.
Andy Moog.
Sure.
Yeah, yeah. Who else? I think Jim Poplinski was on that team.
That sounds right.
So, well, the Soviets, they're still, that was the last games as the Soviets, because the next games, they were CIS, and then they're Russia. So the Soviets, I saw the gold medal hockey game. And when I say gold medal, I put gold medal in big air quotes because they'd already won the gold medal.
Right.
It was round robin.
Still round robin,
and,
best record.
And so the gold medal final was Soviet Union against Finland.
Right.
And the big joke was the Soviets were probably playing hungover because they'd already celebrated. And they lost to Finland.
Okay.
Who then, because Finland won that game, Finland usurped Sweden to win silver.
Right.
So that's essentially all that was on the line. But I just remember it was so cool. And I've got like this big pin collection.
Yeah.
And I remember going to like downtown Calgary and there's all these different people from different countries and collecting pins and trading pins. And so the whole environment was cool.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping I'll be able to experience some of that and not just run around and put myself into the ground. But I feel like that's a big part of what the Olympics are.
Course,
obviously,
yeah,
it's changed a lot in 36 years, but super excited for that.
Just quickly, any memories of players who played in that quote-unquote gold medal game?
Well, it was
Russia
or
Finland?
It was Krutov, Makarov, Larionov,
okay, before they defected,
Kazatonov, and Fetisov.
Okay.
So that's...
There's your big five.
Yeah.
Any Finns? Any...
I'd have to look.
Yeah, okay.
Again, I'm not sure if Teemu Selanne was, I think he was too young.
Probably a little bit.
Yeah, I think he was a little bit too young.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd have to look.
Yes. So
part of me thinks that Rayo Ruotsalainen, because that was, like, again, the pros weren't, like, it wasn't like 98 when they came for good.
NHLers,
but I'm pretty sure that was the first Olympics when North American pros with NHL experience could play.
Okay.
And so if I'm not mistaken, Rhea Ruotsalainen played for the Finns. Like I mentioned, Andy Mogan, Jim Poplinski were part of the Canadian team. I think Trent Yanni was on that Canada team.
Look at that name. What was Andy Moog doing? How was he available?
Well, he had left. That might have been the year he was, I think he held out from the Oilers.
Okay.
And then he ended up going to the Bruins. So, there was some sort of contract dispute there because he was the backup to Fuhrer. And so he ended up playing in the Olympics.
It's going to be a crazy schedule ahead for you. We've jammed as much in here as we can. We'll no doubt get you back in when you get back from Copa and back from the Olympics. But we still got to talk some CFL. So let's step out. You've been kind enough to agree to come back in here and do a second show for the good listener tomorrow, where we will talk about CFL, the Ottawa Red Blacks. So I appreciate you doing this one. I appreciate you being willing to coming back. And like you said, I know you're no stranger to the fact that sometimes we can end up down the rabbit hole here talking about travel.
You know what? No problem at all, because I am so obsessed with travel. So whenever you get me going on travel, I didn't even talk about New Orleans. Saints LSU, baby. Late November, early December. That's another bucket list
trip. You are on the move, man.
Yeah, no, I always love coming in here to chat sports and travel and whatever you want to talk about, Matt. Always a pleasure.
Right. So thank you so much for listening, everybody. AJ will be back on Wednesday morning with another edition of Tall Can Audio. This time, lots of CFL talk, lots of Ottawa Red Blacks. We will get to all of it on episode 1332 tomorrow. We will see you then. Yo, Tall Can Warriors.